A Christmas Eve Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 24, 1989, entitled, The Fairy Tale is True. The scripture readings are Revelation 12, verses 1 through 17, and Luke 2, verses 1 through 14. The texts for the sermon are Luke 2, verses 9 and 10, and Revelation 12, verse 5. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
What a wonderful story, the Christmas story. Like the fairy tales that we all loved as children, and if we're honest with ourselves as adults, if we allow our child ever to come forth, we still enjoy. The fairy tales, the wonderful stories that are the treasure of the whole race. The Christmas story with its angels in the sky singing, its brightly shining star, and the couple making their way to Bethlehem, she great with child, coming to the inn in which there is no room and finding place only in a stable with straw and animals, the child born, the angels singing to shepherds and wise men bringing their gifts. It's a wonderful story. It's a story that down through the centuries never grows old, like a good fairy tale. It reminds us of the best moments of our childhood. And it brings joy to the hearts of children. If only the fairy tale were true. If only all times were like this time. If only reality would reflect the Christmas story. We in this advanced stage of the 20th century, with our intellectual sophistication, our technological prowess, our advanced culture, still thrill to the story, even though we know that it's not quite that way. For with all of our learning and our sophistication, we've picked up a good bit of cynicism along the way. We're sadder and wiser, but it's good, at least once a year, to return to the stable, to enjoy the fable, to feel the thrill, even if only for a brief moment, when it will be soon business as usual, hard-headed pragmatism, a bit of bitterness, the competitive, cutthroat, corporate world, survival. That's the name of the game. Human ingenuity and human energies poured into the pursuit of that elusive happiness, but at least survival. If only things were really as reflected in the Christmas story. If only fairy tales were true. But you know, on sober reflection, maybe the problem is not with the fairy tale. Maybe it's with us. Because think about the fairy tale for a moment. It's ironic that we tell fairy tales to children. Because fairy tales are not all sweetness and light. Fairy tales are not all of the sentimentality and romanticism and the trivial nature of so much that has encrusted the Christmas celebration. Fairy tales are true. Fairy tales are to be taken with utmost seriousness. They are not really just ways to put children to sleep. Sometimes, of course, they put us to sleep trying to get children to sleep. I can remember in the days of my youth how I loved to be read to. My poor mother had to read those dog-eared books time after time after time. But I'm paying my dues because about 4:30 this afternoon, when I'm about to crash, my darling little Steffi will come and plop herself on my lap and say, "These four books, Bumpa." Not because she doesn't know everything that are in those four books, but because she will delight in the recognition again of the story. But it's deceiving, you see, because it's easy just to write off the fairy tale as though it's for children. But as a matter of fact, the fairy tale is profoundly true. It is not all sweetness and light. It is about the cosmic struggle. The struggle between light and darkness. Think about the fairy tales that you love so well. They are filled with wicked kings and horrible witches and goblins and tension and conflict. The fairy tale is the collision of light and darkness. There is bloodshed. There is war. There is death. There are all the shadows that are a part of the human scene in the fairy tales. The only thing that is true of the fairy tale that we have lost sight of in our advanced, affluent society is the fairy tale's conviction in the ultimate, final defeat of the darkness. The fairy tale is certain that light will overcome darkness, that life will overcome death, that righteousness will win over unrighteousness, that good will triumph over evil. The fairy tale is strong in its conviction that the good, the hero and the heroine, will live happily ever after. That's what we miss. We're not sure of that anymore. And so we give way to cynicism and power plays and all of the other games that people play. No, it's not that the fairy tale is fantasy land for children. And it's not that the Christmas story is truly reflected in all of the sentimentality and the trivialization of the late 20th century. Just think about the story for a moment. Mary and Joseph making their way to Bethlehem. Why? Because Caesar Augustus, the world's most powerful ruler, the totalitarian in Rome, issued a decree that all the world should be enrolled. Why? In order that mighty Rome might more efficiently tax the peasantry that were held under its thumb by its legions, cowed by fear and coercion. That was the world into which Jesus was born. King Herod, hearing of the birth, did not fall to his knees and thank God that God would now visit God's people. Much rather, he set in course a conspiracy that would find the child and kill the child, and failing that, issued a decree that all male children 2 years and under should be slaughtered, the slaughter of the innocents. That was the world of the Christmas story. It was a world in which the announcement was made to shepherds, social outcasts, people who were on the outside of society, ritually unclean and morally untrustworthy. And Jesus was born in a stable, for there was no room for him in the inn, making him much more at home with today's homeless than with us in our comfortable and cozy heart. We have trivialized the story. We have covered it over with sentimentality and romanticism, and we don't believe it anymore. It is just a celebration for a brief time when we remember, almost remember, when it's almost possible for the tear to arise in our eye and the lump in our throat. But so soon, it's the same old dog-eat-dog world of business as usual. Our problem is that we lump it with a fairy tale as a fantasy for children, and fail to see that it is the collision of light and darkness. It is the focal point of the conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. Did you happen to see Prime Time Live this past week, where they took us into Czechoslovakia, into the headquarters of the security police, into the room where there were bank upon bank upon bank upon bank of file folders filled with information gathered on the citizenry of Czechoslovakia, because totalitarian states and oppressive regimes need good information. Joseph and Mary enrolled on Rome's roll, because Rome ruled the world with an iron hand. That was the reality of the first Christmas. So the problem is not really that fairy tales are not true, nor that the Christmas story is not true, but much rather that we have written them both off and no longer believe the ultimate, final truth that is reflected in the event of the birth of the Word made flesh. The early church didn't lose the significance of the Incarnation, however. For the early church lived in a time of intense persecution. The fires of persecution set off by the Roman emperors one after another caused the early church to suffer tremendously. There were martyrs who paid with their blood. Some were strung on crosses, lighted in order to illuminate the games of the Romans. Some were fed to the lions. It was a time in which there was terrible suffering in that world of oppression and domination. It was to such a world that John wrote this revelation, which was given to him by Jesus. John himself, an exile for his testimony to Jesus, off on an island in the sea, writing back to the church, saying to Christian people who were suffering, who were dying, don't give up. Be encouraged and comforted and hold fast to your hope, because this persecution is limited and but for a brief time. But God is sovereign, and God will be all in all. In the midst of that revelation, which was not written in order to give a forecast of things that were to come, but rather to be an immediate message to the immediate situation, John has a vision, a sign in heaven, a woman, the church, ready to give birth. And before the woman is that old dragon ready to devour the child on his appearing. But the child being born is snatched by God into heaven. And the devil, not to be outdone, carries the conflict into the precincts of heaven itself. But Michael and his hosts take on the devil and his hosts and defeat the devil and cast him down to the earth. And heaven is secured against the darkness, against the evil. But the church, the woman, the church on earth is warned that the old devil, although mortally wounded, nonetheless cast down to earth, will still flail away with all of his fury, his death throes, creating all of the havoc that he can. Like Nicolae Ceausescu in his last moments trying to shore up a regime that is destined to fall. Like his security forces even now killing innocent people, trying to hold on against what is inevitable. The devil will do all he can to create all the hell he can, even though he knows his time is short. In fact, because it's short, because it's limited, he is all the more ferocious. And the little church, the people of God, suffering under the hot breath of the pursuing dragon, mortally wounded, are encouraged in the vision to hold on. For the woman is given the wings of an eagle in order that she might fly into the wilderness and there find refuge for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, a limited time, you see. The fires will burn. The wrath of the evil one will be terrible, but it is limited. It is not the last word. It is not forever. Hold on. Persevere. Be encouraged and comforted. Live in hope, because the God of incarnation is the God who does not sit in splendid isolation in the bliss of heaven, but rather has entered the lists for us in the midst of the arena of history, which is a crucible of darkness and suffering and death and violence, and who says to us, I am with you. The woman has a child reminiscent of the prophecy of Isaiah when a young woman gave forth a child and named him Emmanuel. And in the vision, the writer is saying to the church, remember the child back then, Emmanuel, God with us. Remember now in the midst of your struggle and your anguish, God is with us. God is with us. Consequently, God being for us, who can be against us? In all of these things, we will be more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Now, fairy tale is true, just that we don't really believe it. hard to believe it. In the midst of our comfort, our security, our affluence, it's easy in a society like ours to grow careless and callous and cynical. It's not really any wonder that faith is flourishing more in Eastern Europe than in the West. More in East Berlin than West Berlin. I imagine that the people most ready to hear and to feel the Christmas message in the world today and tomorrow are the people in Romania who are sifting through mass graves in order to identify a son or a daughter, a father or a mother, who have been gunned down in senseless violence and bloodshed, dismembered, violated. You say, how awful at Christmas? I say, what better time at Christmas? The Christmas of the world, of Julius, of Caesar Augustus and Herod and Pontius Pilate. What better time to recognize that God in human flesh abiding has entered the list for us? If only the fairy tale were true. If only the Christmas story reflected reality. No, much rather, the Christmas story and the fairy tale are to be taken with much greater seriousness than we ever have before. J.R.R. Tolkien writes of the fairy tale that it does not deny the existence of sorrow or failure. The possibility of these is necessary to the joy of the deliverance. It denied in face of much evidence, if you will, universal final defeat, giving a fleeting glimpse of joy, joy beyond the walls of the world, poignant as grief. It is the mark of the good fairy story that however wild its events, however fantastic or terrible the adventures, it can give to the child or the adult who hears it, when the turn comes, a catch of the breath, a beat and uplifting of the heart, near to or indeed accompanied by tears. Frederick Buechner says to the preacher, let the preacher preach the overwhelming of tragedy by comedy, of darkness by light, of the ordinary by the extraordinary, as the tale that is too good not to be true, because to discover it is to find the catch of the breath, the beat and uplifting of the heart, and the tear, which is our deepest intuition of what is ultimately true. On the evening news last night, the last 3 or 4 minutes on NBC, the screen became a collage of faces and scenes of the last couple of months in Eastern Europe. Lech Valencia, the Hungarian Parliament, Prague, in its historic square filled with students waving flags, couples embracing, tears flowing, wonderful jubilation, total joy. And the background for the collage was a great orchestra playing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, whose climactic movement is the Ode to Joy. And they changed but one word. They changed Freude to Freiheit, joy to freedom. And that great orchestra was made up of people from East and West Berlin, the U.S. and the USSR, together in beautiful reconciliation, singing an ode to joy, freedom, because, dear friend, Christmas story is true. Let go your bitterness, your cynicism. Be assured that you have sustained no loss, that you will not receive again 100-fold. No wound that will not be healed as by a miracle. That you will walk through no valley so dark, but that the light of the Lord will rise upon you. Because the fairy tale.